and welcome to Radio Prague. I'm Dita Siedu and we start the program with a brief news bulletin. It is not yet clear whether any Czechs were among the victims of Sunday's tsunami disaster in southern Asia. Czech travel agencies say they have established contact with all of their clients, but hundreds of Czechs are known to have traveled to the region by themselves. The Foreign Ministry has decided to release 10 million crowns or over 300,000 euros from its budget to aid the affected regions. A crisis committee meeting was also held on Monday morning to coordinate help for stranded Czech tourists. The ministry has set up a special information hotline for the families of Czechs who are still missing in southern Asia. The Czech economy is below EU average but gradually catching up, the Czech statistical office said on Monday. 2003 figures show that the country's GDP was 73% of that of the EU average. Prague, however, is well above average with 164%. Some 2,000 Ukrainians living in the Czech Republic cast absentee ballots in the repeated second round of Ukraine's presidential election on Sunday. This is a third less than was the case in November. In the Czech Republic, 7,300 Ukrainians were registered to vote, but many chose to go to the polls in their homeland instead. Ukraine attempted to elect their president for the third time in 2 months after November's second round of the election was confirmed rigged and annulled by the Supreme Court. Prime Minister Viktor Yanukovych was declared the winner of that vote. Election officials say opposition leader Viktor Yushchenko has won the rerun. About 6 kilograms of highly enriched uranium was secretly spirited away from the Czech Republic and taken to a secure site in Russia, the Washington Post reported. The nuclear material was moved as part of a U.S., Czech, Russian and International Atomic Energy Agency mission, the paper says, adding that it puts into focus the U.S. administration's global nuclear non-proliferation agreement to secure vulnerable sites around the world. Schoolchildren who experienced the traumatic terrorist attack in September in Beslan, Russia, and were recovering at a Czech spa will be leaving for home this week. The children were on a 4-week convalescent stay at the Mane Sanatorium in the Bohemian town of Karlovy Vary. They'll stay in Prague for 2 days before heading for home on Wednesday. According to the director of the sanatorium, Svatava Liškova, the stay had a visibly positive effect on the children's psychological state. They're now calm and are learning to come to terms with the traumatic experience. Czechs sent a record 53.1 million SMS mobile phone text messages on Christmas Eve. This exceeded last year's record by 16%, the Czech phone companies reported. Czech Telecom transferred 5.5 million fixed-line calls. Added up, it would have been a 31.5-year-long telephone conversation. And a quick look at the weather. Tuesday will have overcast skies with snow in places. Daytime temperatures will range from 0 to 4 degrees Celsius. I'm Dita Siedu, and that's the end of the news.
This is Radio Prague, broadcasting in English worldwide. I'm Jan Wellinger. In just a moment, we speak to a Czech observer in Ukraine following that country's recent presidential re-election. We ask, this time, was the balloting fair? Also ahead, the continuing allure of the after-Christmas sale, are Czechs being drawn in? Then, time for something a little different.
Life gets really bad on the brain farm, and he decides to escape one night, and he takes a couple brains with him. That's basically how the story begins.
Humorist, illustrator, and graphic designer Ken Nash discusses life in Prague, open mic evenings, and the story of a man for whom one brain was not enough. That's all coming up, so stick around. Supporters of Viktor Yushchenko have been celebrating his victory in the rerun of Ukraine's presidential election on Sunday. However, his opponent Viktor Yanukovych is not giving up without a fight, saying his team will take thousands of complaints about how voting was conducted to court. But how fair was the vote really? Among the international electoral observers in Ukraine were 50 Czechs, including Ondřej Soukup of the charity Člověk v tísni, or People in Need. Does he believe the elections were fair this time?
Yeah, especially in the comparison with the second round, there was completely different atmosphere. And what I saw, that was pretty fair, and there was no major problems. And I would say that I spoke with observers from the Mr. Yanukovych side, and nobody actually complained about any serious violations.
But Viktor Yanukovych's team are now saying constitutional and human rights were violated in the rerun and are taking some 5,000 complaints to Ukraine's Supreme Court. Does Mr. Soko believe those claims are at all substantiated?
I was in the one polling station in the closing, and they've been seeing all the complaints during the day, and there was complaints, for example, the chairman of the election committee ate orange during the elections, and they thought that this is a violation, there's an agitation for the Mr. Yanukovych side. So if the rest of the complaints are the same, so I can say that, well, okay, maybe there's the 5,000 complaints, but there's no serious problems, actually, what we saw.
So what is the atmosphere like in Ukraine now, with the opposition refusing to accept defeat? Andrei Sokup again.
I was in this Independence Square yesterday in Kyiv. There was a huge demonstration. The people were celebrating. And, of course, the people are aware that Mr. Yanukovych and his team is, let's say, not happy about the results. They are aware of possible complication in the future, but they are definitely sure that the future of Ukraine is behind Mr. Yushchenko.
That was Andrei Sokup of People in Need online from Ukraine earlier. And there is a Czech community in Ukraine. Their association is Česká beseda, one of the oldest Czech compatriots organizations in the world. Its leader is Evgen Topinka, and he gave his reaction to the result of Sunday's vote.
From my point of view, the vote turned out well, although I did expect Yushchenko to win by more votes. If his victory is confirmed, there will be more democracy and transparency in politics, and we will turn more towards the West. Up to now, there has been hardly any press freedom. The country was run by crooks, and I think a lot of them will be sent to prison for what they've done, and we will gradually see order here.
And we turn now from those very dramatic elections in Ukraine to the somewhat more frivolous activity of shopping. And together with the rise of the economy, Czechs tend to spend more money and buy ever more expensive products. Now Christmas is over and retailers are making an effort to get rid of their remaining stock. This year, the sales are starting much earlier than in previous years and with a vengeance. Martin Mikula went to some Prague stores to find out more.
Prices in many stores have been already cut by 10, 20, even 50%, with other retailers planning to reduce them in next days. As Zbigniew Mrozek from Marks & Spencer says, this year they decided to offer sales already a week before Christmas, although the discounts will be much higher towards the end of the year.
We start with average discount nearly 30%, and of course some products are only 10%, some 50%, and later at the end of the sale period should be much higher discount. It is nearly 70%, for example.
Does it regard mostly textile, or does it regard also food or cosmetics or anything?
It is across whole business. Some cosmetics should be some lines because they finish, and for example, Marks & Spencer want to introduce new one during the spring. And of course, for food, yes, it is possible too, because we have some typical Christmas products like pudding, cakes. Of course, after Christmas, should be a problem with it.
Whereas before Christmas, people mostly buy presents and things needed for the holidays, the sales are used by customers who are looking for a particularly good deal.
I think that the sale period is not only for our own customer or typical customer. Of course, somebody from them goes to us and buy something, and it is some advantage for them, but very often it is different type of customers. Very often they buy only cheaper things.
But most of the people I stopped at the Prague shopping mall were still hesitating and said they prefer to wait for even lower prices.
We just went to see some, we want to buy some jeans, some pants, but we didn't find anything.
You found anything cheaper than usually today, because it's the end of the year, lots of goods is reduced?
Yes, some things were cheaper than before. Jeans, clothes, yes, just clothes. We didn't see any other things.
Šli, rozhodně šli, s cenama dolů a lituju, že mi není míň a že nejsem hubenější, protože bych hned nakupovala dál.
I think they certainly did go down with the prices, and I only regret that I'm not slimmer and younger, because I would definitely keep on shopping, especially clothes like every woman. I like buying cosmetics too, but I got lots of it for Christmas.
Ne, oblečení, jako každá žena, samozřejmě kosmetika mě také zajímá, ale pod stromečkem jí bylo dost.
So a few opinions of shoppers in Prague stores the first day shops reopened after Christmas. As opposed to communist times, when seasonal sales practically did not exist, they are now gradually becoming more and more common in the Czech Republic.
Martin Mikulaj with that report, and who wouldn't want to be slimmer and younger? And becoming younger is something that we look at in our next report. Yes, science can make our lives easier, it can even save our lives, but it can also make us look better. There are years and years of serious research even behind cosmetic surgery, and new methods are emerging by the day. Need to get rid of wrinkles? Forget about silicone and collagen, scientists say now. Your own cells can do the trick. In today's Czech Science, we get a glimpse of a fascinating field called cell therapy and tissue engineering that has many applications and a great potential in all areas of medicine. Pavla Horáková now with Czech Science.
At one of Prague's cosmetic surgery clinics, Dr. Petr Hajduk is showing me the classic before and after photos of a middle-aged woman. In the second photo, the laugh lines between the sides of her nose and the corners of her lips are significantly diminished. If you guessed a facelift or injectable fillers, you're wrong.
We are using the patient's or a client's own material, not any fillers, artificial fillers, as the other methods are using so far. And it's very simple. We are taking the sample of the skin and subskin tissue from the patients, usually from the region behind the ear, because there is a skin not too damaged by sun or by other chemicals. And then we close this little wound with maybe some glue or one stitch. And we send the sample of this tissue to the special tissue bank, where it's multiplied and clarified. And then we again inject these purified cells, called fibroblasts, again into the areas which have to be treated.
This skin rejuvenation method was originally devised in the United States and is used in some other countries too. The difference is that Dr. Hajduk's center decided to grow the new cells not on artificial soil, but in the client's own blood serum.
We decide that the whole procedure should be as natural as possible, and that's why we do this procedure, the whole procedure, on the patient's or client's material, either the donor cells and the donor, let's say, soil, it's from the patient, which means that we take the maybe 3 to 5 cc of client's blood, and on the blood or on the part of the blood, then the cells are multiplied. As I know, so far, and for this procedure, we are the only one in Central Europe.
This method of skin renewal is used to treat all kinds of facial and neck wrinkles. Outside cosmetic medicine, similar methods can help treat burns or scars and even cure joints. As Dr. Petr Hajduk says, cell therapy has some great advantages over other types of treatment.
The first and the biggest advantage is that the whole process is done on the natural material from the client, so there is zero possibility of adverse reaction or allergic reaction. And in medicine, you almost never can say zero, but in this method, we almost sure we can say that it's zero. And of course, even the soil is very important, because of course we can use some artificial soil, and the cells will grow, but there is some very, very small chance that it could be some kind of damage to the cells, or their genetic can be changed. But by using the natural patient's material for the growing, we can avoid this problem.
Czech Science was put together today by Pavla Horáková. Admirable, no doubt, but now I will have to spend hours wondering what to do with my own subskin tissue, which is just about weird enough to bring us to today's one-on-one. In today's edition, my guest is Ken Nash, a well-known illustrator, designer, and humorist whose work has been featured in publications around the world. His design work has also included clients like Czech beer manufacturer Pilsner Urquell. Ken also regularly organizes the Alchemy Reading and Performance Series. The open mic is something that has always been popular among expatriates in Prague, and it's what Ken told me about first. Here's Ken Nash on Radio Prague.
There's always been like a history of English language performance events, open mics in Prague since 1992. And a friend of mine asked me, said, can you try to get something together? And so I had this idea of changing the open mic to also include a feature segment where people can actually perform for a longer period of time and we can bring people to Prague and expose people to new ideas and new works in progress. I think it was part of like being part of this community here. It's something that I just do for the fun of it. I don't get paid for it, but it's helping to nurture something in the community, which is important for me to be part of that.
And do you find then that it really does bring together English speakers from different walks of life? You get your English teachers on the one hand and people from the business world and artists.
Certainly a lot of English teachers, artists, and professional writers who come. And we've had some amazing features who've come and performed, not just from around Prague, but from England and the United States and Poland and Hungary.
Is there any performance, perhaps even your own, that sticks out in your mind?
There's been quite a number of ones. We had this performer from the UK, Attila the Stockbroker, who came, and he does music and spoken word and just an amazing, powerful presence. We've had Mala Goldberg, who's a really successful American novelist, who came and she performed. And then there once in a while, there's just someone who's a backpacker who just shows up and out of nowhere and just performs something really incredibly moving. And I think those are some of the best moments.
But it must be nerve-wracking. You know, you come up for the first time and there's dozens of people sitting around drinking on top of it and expecting you to deliver.
Someone recently gave me some advice, some performer friends of mine who were passing through town, and I was asking about this because I was getting really nervous sometimes, and their advice to me was that when you're up on stage and you're performing, you are no longer the person who created that work. You are the performer. You cannot think about the editing process. You cannot think about whether this is good or not. You have to think about the performance and be a performer of that work and try to separate those two things.
Okay, despite some funny rumors circulating on the internet about you growing up and working with a Mongolian circus, you do come from the U.S., and I wanted to ask you how you ended up in Prague.
If I tell this story, it's going to sound a little bit ridiculous. And at the time, I realized it was a little bit ridiculous thing to do, but I was also at a point where I wanted to just do something ridiculous. I'd been working in Chicago in advertising as a writer and producer, and I liked the work. I didn't necessarily like the industry, but I couldn't imagine myself working in advertising as a writer for the rest of my life. And I didn't know what the next step was. And I had this dream one night that I was living in Prague. And the next morning, that was it. It's like, why not? And then I know almost nothing about Prague, but I'm ready to do something out of the blue. It doesn't have to be permanently, but just something to kind of break up my life. And I thought, I could go to Prague. And so I immediately made plans to get on a flight and store my things away and head off to Prague. And it was just totally out of the blue. And it ended up being like the best thing I could have ever done.
A difficult question, but what were the aspects of life here that made up your mind to stay here for as long as you have?
One of the main things is just the physicality of the city itself. There's something about the city, its architecture, its streets, the lighting, the way the sun changes, that I just find incredibly inspiring and evocative. As maybe corny as that sounds, but it is something about the physicality of the city. And the other thing is just there's something about the atmosphere in Prague where almost anything can happen. You don't feel hemmed in too much. You feel like you can take risks here and try things. And if you fail, it doesn't really matter. You're not going to crash too badly. It's been a good city for trying things and experimenting.
What about from a perspective of being a cartoonist or an illustrator or a graphic designer, is there, say, a healthy market for all of those jobs here? Or does it matter today, considering so much is over the internet?
It actually doesn't matter that much. I do a lot of my work over the internet. I have a lot of U.S. clients. So, you know, illustration work now with the internet is pretty universal. You know, I do a lot of animation work, which for greeting cards, which are viewed like in Europe, in the U.S., in Japan, Israel. I get letters from all over.
When you live in a different place as an expatriate or as a foreigner abroad, it's inevitable that that experience of living away will also change you. In what ways have you been changed by this country?
I think just the experience of being an expatriate, living outside of your native land, is in some ways a little bit freeing. I remember Czesław Miłosz, the Polish poet, who was living in the U.S. for quite a long time, teaching in Berkeley, and he had said something about how it's a natural part of most people's lives, almost everyone's life, to feel a little bit alienated, this existential anxiety of not feeling like you quite fit in. And when you're in your own home country and you feel that way, it just seems like a dysfunctional part of your mind. But when you're living in a foreign country, it's almost like it feels normal. It's like you have an excuse for not feeling like you fit in. I know I don't completely fit in, but I'm okay with that.
Back to the illustration and the cartoons. Were you inspired by design or illustrations from this region?
From this region, yes, especially like the modernists. Design-wise, yeah, Carol Teague and Suttner, people like that. That type of look from the early part of the Czechoslovakian nation is very inspiring and very, you know, there's a lot of energy in that type of work. And the humor in the Czech Republic, maybe I do identify a little bit with it. There's sort of a darkness to it, which my own sense of humor responds to.
And say American cartoonists or cartoonists from elsewhere?
I would say Gary Larson is probably my major influence. growing up, I loved Gary Larson back when everyone didn't understand him. I thought he was amazing. I mean, he broke ground in the context of where most cartoons were at when he started, you know, publishing nationally. He was doing stuff that was so off the wall, and it was darker and sometimes creepier than a lot of the cutesy cartoons that were out there at the time.
I'd like to mention some of the greeting cards that you've done that I enjoyed. Maybe you could tell me about one of the latest ones you've worked on. On your website, I noticed this little kind of mini story about a vampire who's kind of lonely and drinking, and basically the message there being don't spend Halloween alone and so on. Have there been any new greeting cards that you've been working on?
Yeah, I'm constantly working on greeting cards. This morning I was actually creating a font for a card. Actually non-humorous, very sentimental. I try to extend my range sometimes.
Okay. Is there a limit where you won't go?
No.
Okay. And let me ask you this. When you're doing design, how often would it be through a computer program, and how often would it be freehand that you would get out somewhere and be able to do actual illustrations of a place?
It's both. I think it's, for me, it's important to be able to do both. And I'll sketch out ideas. Sometimes I'll draw them by hand and then scan them and then work with them on the computer. And I also just do a lot of just work for fun. I do a lot of drawing around Prague. I'll take my sketchbook out in the streets and draw buildings and people. And I enjoy doing that.
I'm going to round it up by returning to the topic with which we started, which was the open mic readings. Apparently, for some time, you've been working on a book of short stories called The Brain Harvest. I wondered if you could give us a bit of a teaser about that book and whether or not it will be published.
We will see if it will be published. The title story is about this man who works on this farm. He runs out of money while he's traveling, and he finds temporary work at a farm with a bunch of immigrants from Mexico harvesting these crops, which are brains. And the brains are then shipped off to universities for students to use. And life gets really bad on the brain farm, and he decides to escape one night, and he takes a couple brains with him. And he travels around, and he finds out the two brains that he stole were actually quite useful for him to, for one, be very successful in the casinos, and the other also being able to foresee events in the future a little bit. That's basically how the story begins.
Well, you've piqued my interest, so I'm going to keep my eye out for when you get published or for one of these evenings when you read another bit. Ken Nash, thanks very much for coming in.
You're very welcome.
Once again, thanks to Ken Nash for coming into the studio and letting me pick his brains. Well, almost out of time for today, but let me remind you, you can always contact us here at Radio Prague by writing us an email, a letter. Our address is english@radio.cz, or you can write to us at Radio Prague 12099, Prague, the Czech Republic, and let us know what you think. For now, though, we leave you with a reminder to tune in tomorrow when we will be airing a special about the Czech minority in Romania. Until then, bye-bye.
Posloucháte Rádio Praha, vysílání Českého rozhlasu.